You are listening to Kubernetes Bytes, a podcast bringing you the latest from the world of cloud-native data management. My name is Ryan Wallner, and I'm joined by Bhavin Shah, coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts. We'll be sharing our thoughts on recent cloud-native news and talking to industry experts about their experiences and challenges managing the wealth of data in today's cloud-native ecosystem.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. We're coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts. Today is May 10th, 2023. I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. Bhavin, let's dive into it. How's it going? How you been?
I've been great, dude. Like, the weather is awesome. Like, summer is, I'm hoping summer is finally here. So we did a short weekend trip to Burlington, Vermont. And when we booked it, right? Like, we booked it like 2-3 weeks back. The weather was going to be in the 50s. We're like, yeah, we can still sit inside breweries and have some good beer.
Yeah.
But then when we reached, the weather was 70 degrees and it was awesome. Like, whew, was a great weekend.
I call this season fall summer.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
There's always fall summer and then we go back a little bit and you know, it's super cold. I saw it's supposed to be like 38 degrees tonight. So
yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're that cold at night, it just doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I'm jacked for it. I was wearing shorts yesterday, so I'm living it. You know, I'm just as hopeful as you are. Burlington's nice, though. I haven't been back up. I'm excited. I'm going back up to Vermont a few times this summer. So.
I know, like, but I think I'd been to Burlington once, but we did such a like a fast trip, like one day we went there, had lunch, had a beer and came back. This time we're like, nope, we have to stay there for at least one night.
But you drove to Burlington for lunch? Did I just hear that correct?
No, so we were camping in the Adirondacks and we were like, okay, on the way back, we'll actually stop by Burlington. Nope, I didn't make the 3.5-hour drive for lunch.
I was like, wow, you must really like something there.
Although the food that I had there, I made a reservation at this Asian place called Single Pebble. It was really good. Like, really good food.
Shout out to Single Pebble.
Yeah, I know.
Great
no
name.
Sponsors.
I'm a fan of names. Great name.
And the best part, like, when you we did take out take some food with us.
Yeah.
They give you a single pebble like as part of the takeout. Like,
oh no way! They're living their name. I love that. That's great. Oh wow! Was it like a marble pebble or like
an actual
like
pebble?
They went on the
they just
the
go outside. Just, yeah. This is a good customer. Maybe we give them a good pebble.
We save our good pebbles for the real people. Oh wow, that's fun. Well, you had more fun than I did. We've been kind of hunkered down here. My wife just had surgery and you know she's fine, but you know, we've been kind of laying low and enjoying some kind of people come to us time. So you know, can't complain too much here. But otherwise been chilling close to home, so you know, nothing too exciting.
She's feeling better and things are improving.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we have a really really fun episode today. We have some great guests from MLB and Medify on the show. But before we jump on and introduce them a little bit, let's go into our news a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So talking about KubeCon, right? We did a whole episode. But as a follow-up or one last thing, the KubeCon sessions are now live on YouTube. So if you are like me and you didn't actually make it to Amsterdam, I'm jealous. Still, yeah. Ryan.
Well, I didn't get to watch that many sessions, honestly. So I'll be watching them too.
All the sessions are live. And we'll include the link to the YouTube playlist in the show notes. I'm sure I'm going through them one day or one session or a couple of sessions every day while I'm doing some work. Live. KubeCost, one of our friends, right? Like, they were on the podcast to talk about Kubernetes cost management. They have a new public beta for their KubeCost cloud offering, where instead of having to deploy KubeCost on your Kubernetes cluster, all you need is to deploy an agent. It connects back to your hosted or cloud solution. And then you can look at all like the You can look at your entire estate and do cost management across all the different Kubernetes solutions that they support. So you can have EKS, GKE, AKS, instead of deploying KubeCost in each, you can basically connect everything through agents to that one single portal.
Very, very cool.
Talking about chill vibes and 1.27. I still love that name.
Chill vibes, yeah.
I think you referred to this, but I just wanted to make sure that we highlight it, right? Like group volume snapshots are now alpha with the 1.27 release. So again, volume snapshots have been a thing in the CSI standard for a while, at least 2-3 releases, if not more. Group volume snapshots adds the capability to take PVCs that may be belonging to the same stateful set with multiple replicas, mm-hmm. and take a crash consistent snapshot and protect your PVCs. So it's in alpha, so I'm sure you'll have to enable that feature flag to actually experiment with it, but it's live, and we'll link to the blog article that Kubernetes Bytes alumni Xing Yang did on the topic.
Yes, absolutely.
And then final note, I know we have an end user perspective today on the show, but even when we are talking to MLB, I was like, let me see if we can find any more cool use cases. And one came across: Coinbase actually uses Kubernetes for running their staking nodes on the cloud. Okay. So they have an interesting article on how they actually use it. What are the different Kubernetes primitives? So they talk about using stateful sets. They talk about using PVCs. They talk about how they're using config maps and secrets for configuration information. And so it's a great read, a quick read. I think it took me 5 minutes, if not less. But yeah, it goes into a good amount of detail to share their experiences, and I'm sure like they are using Kubernetes outside these staking nodes as well. But again, that's another cool article that I found this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had a few guests in the sort of the crypto space that have also used Kubernetes, so it seems like a popular tool for the job, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go read that one myself. The first bit of news I have here is that if you submitted a CFP to KubeCon EU, you might probably have been one of the ones who did not get accepted because they had an 11% acceptance rate.
Yeah.
Something like almost 2,000 submissions down to 300 or something like that. Don't quote me on the numbers. It's in the article, but it was very low. So anyway, they're getting a crazy amount of volume of submissions, and I think they need to grow with the community and how many are being submitted. So new platform, if you've submitted before, look out for something new rolling out, and read the article. I don't think it's going to be anything major to the end user, but something to keep in mind that if you log on and say this looks different, it probably is.
I think that's another thing, right? I've submitted CFPs for KubeCons in the past. Never do they get accepted. So I'm still annoyed by the fact, but again, as you said, right? 11%. Don't think my CFP was good enough to be in the top 11%. I would just hope like CNCF makes it like a 5-day conference instead of a 2-day conference, so that more people can share what they're working on. Again,
that's a lot of Kubernetes in 1 week.
I don't think either of us would mind that.
No, you're right. And, I think in lieu of getting more people to speak in the community to come along, I think I'm all for that. In general, it's tough. It's not a gamble. Yeah. There are ways to definitely make your CFP sort of more interesting or maybe tailored to that year. And maybe we should do a whole episode on that. That might be a cool topic to do, actually. Speaking of CNCF, there's a whole bunch of different online events that are done through sort of the webinar series. One of the ones I want to call out for this week is the 11th and 12th, 12 a.m. Pacific. I think I'm reading that right. But you might have to look into that. It's called Run Wasm Shim This Way. And we had done a couple. We had done a couple episodes with sort of the topic of WASM WebAssembly with Nigel Bolton and things like that. And this seems like a cool topic. Definitely go check it out. I think the whole WebAssembly sort of theme at KubeCon is definitely something that we still seeing. So we're going to try to post those things as they kind of gain traction as well. The other one is an article on a backup for GKE. It's a concepts part series. Pretty cool. I think the whole idea in the blog is really enlightening if you're new to sort of data protection or backup and restore capabilities and you use GKE. which is also relevant to today's episode, yeah. actually. You know, definitely go check this out. It kind of goes through the concepts of what's provided, what, and the particularly the piece I like is it really breaks down what it's backing up, what's yeah. in the backup versus what's not in the backup. Because yeah. I think that is confusing to many people, where it's like, well, is my image backed up? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, is my service or load balancer?
What about my actual cluster? Like I've seen, exactly. I've heard that a few times.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So this article does a good job at that as well. And the last one I have is Nutanix. Mm-hmm. I've been around for quite some time. They announced something called Nutanix Data Services for Kubernetes, which is all about, as you may have guessed, data services on Kubernetes and sort of their way of kind of, you know, providing pre-built and managed mm-hmm. and those kind of things on top of a number of different platforms, right? So very yeah. cool stuff. Go check out what they're up to.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right? I used to work with Nutanix at my previous job, and they had a similar service for virtual machine-based data service yep. deployment called yep. Era. So I, again, this is something that I didn't catch, so I need to go and check it out, what they're doing for Kubernetes.
Well, it's early release, so it's like, I don't know how much you'll be able to really poke at it, but maybe you could be part of their early
next in next 6 months, I guess, then.
Exactly. All right, now let's jump in and get our guests on the show. We have Kevin Backman, who works at MLB, has been there for about 10 years, Google Fellow and Senior Systems Architect there. He's kind of in charge of what we'll be talking about today, so a lot of fun and interesting things from him. And then also Mike Wagner, CEO of Medify, and he'll kind of talk to us about Mojo and what they've been able to do with their bare metal environment. So without further ado, here they are.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Kubernetes Bytes, Mike and Kevin. It's so great to have you here. I won't spoil it for our listeners. Please give us a little bit of introduction of who you are and what you do. Why don't you go first, Mike?
Cool. All right. So I'm Mike Wagner. I am the co-founder and CEO of Medify.
And Kevin.
Hi, I'm Kevin Backman. I am a senior systems engineer for the systems infrastructure and engineering team for Major League Baseball.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, we're here to talk about Major League Baseball and all things technology and Kubernetes. And I think that's a really exciting topic. I played, you missed it a little bit before the show, Kevin, but we were talking about baseball, but I played Division I in college. So it's near and dear to my heart, you know, cross between technology and baseball. I'm, you know, long way from playing any sort of organized baseball anymore. I'd probably hurt myself, but it's a fun little episode today.
Yeah. Ryan great. Played that's Division awesome. I baseball. I just saw one baseball match in my life for like ever. That's it. But I do have a Red Sox cap. Like if we want to support local teams, like I can bring that on.
Good stuff.
Yep. So again, I know Kevin and Mike, thank you so much, right? As Ryan said, for joining this episode. We want to start with like that higher level overview. Like what does the technology stack at Major League Baseball looks like? And since you guys are on Kubernetes Bytes, I'm assuming it has something to do with Kubernetes. Can you give us and our listeners an overview of what that stack looks like and how you use Kubernetes today?
Yeah, sure. I can jump in on that since, I'm Major League Baseball.
You're a good person to talk to. Yeah.
Some people say I don't agree with them, but yes, no. So we're pretty much heavily invested in Kubernetes. We've gone all in on Kubernetes. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of our applications these days are running on some form of Kubernetes. Okay. You know, I don't like if you pay attention to the news at all, you've seen MLB and Google have a very close relationship on in terms of, sponsorship and all of that. And so, with that being said, we're heavily invested with GCP.
Gotcha.
All GCP Kubernetes offerings, which, in turn led to us rolling into Anthos. Or the ballparks, but I won't get ahead of it.
Yeah. No worries there. Now, I know, we're going to dive into a little bit about how you're using Anthos and how you got there. But I do want to start with a little foundation about, like, what are the applications doing? I mean, mm-hmm. we have to put a little context to the story here. You know, were these applications already containerized? What are they actually gathering? How are they, connected with the actual sport of baseball?
So the apps themselves have been containerized for a while now, but obviously they did not start that way. We, at one point, were still using VMware, like the traditional VMware bare metal stack. About 5 years now ago, we started moving to Kubernetes. Initially, I think it was a lot of AWS Kubernetes, and then we started branching out and exploring other options. But to answer the question in terms of what we run, basically everything you see in terms of stat cost is based on Kubernetes. Like, that's all GCP and Anthos Kubernetes.
Okay, so like I'm going into Fenway Stadium, like that Fenway Park, that's what like I see running there at each of these locations. It's just Kubernetes clusters on the edge, if I can say that.
Correct. Yes, we have edge deployments for Kubernetes clusters talking with GCP as well.
Gotcha. Okay, nice. That's exciting. Like, thank you for making it real in terms of like what apps are actually being hosted on those infrastructure stacks. Like, we usually tend to focus a lot on the infrastructure piece, but then making it real actually helps not just us, right? Yeah. Our listeners as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're watching a game on TV and you look in the little corner of the screen and you see the score, that's Kubernetes.
Okay, good to know. So do you have something like the AWS stat that keeps coming up during NFL games? Like, because I watch a lot of those and it's always annoying.
But you haven't noticed it, which should tell you the answer, right? Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. No, I'm curious though, in terms of like deployment at the stadium, is the infrastructure that's running this actually physically in sort of stadium property or like nearby, or how does that actually work and look?
It's physically in the stadium.
Okay. Nice. Like
there, we have little mini data centers in each stadium.
So I guess to go with that, what about the Hawkeye stuff? Okay, because that's the stuff that is beyond cool, right? Are those also running on a different server stack, or is that running? How does that work? Because that's the lasers and the high speed cameras that actually do all the cool
tracking. So the player tracking stack. Hawkeye does, a lot of the work, their own work, and we provide, the space for them to do it. Yeah. And then their technology stack that they're running will communicate with our on-prem Kubernetes stack to then move the data to MLB.
Makes sense. All right. So you mentioned you had been using VMware in the past, and this was obviously a part of a new rebuild. When did it complete, actually? Like, what year is it? Was it last year?
No. So it actually completed. The initial rollout completed in 2020.
Okay. Yo, right in the middle of everything. It made it probably nice and easy for you.
Sure, let's say it was easy.
Strong sarcasm there, of course. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons I think that, we talk to various guests on why they make large changes to infrastructure, large, moves from cloud to on-prem or whatever it may be. I'm curious, what was sort of the catalyst that drove MLB to kind of do this and kind of work with Medify and everything like that?
So we, like, the whole initial onus of this was we needed to future proof our technology stack. Our technology stack was a traditional VM running on bare metal, required a lot of resources. It didn't have the redundancy we needed, because it was vSphere is stupid expensive, and you're trying to now run 30 data centers with this price. It gets a little eye-watering, the cost. And so like we were looking at something nimble, agile, and, you know,
cheap,
lightweight that we could just roll. Yeah, yes, sure. Cheap. And then just, you know, something that we could roll out, manage easily, that, you know, doesn't take a lot of engineering hours to maintain, as you know, a lot of vSphere stuff does. So we were playing around with Rancher in some on-prem clusters, just like proof of concept. And, you know, we liked the idea of Kubernetes. We, you know, we're, at this point, we had just signed a deal with Google and we're starting to roll out a lot of GCP stuff. We saw the benefits of running everything in GCP Kubernetes. And so, you know, then Google came to us and said, hey, by the way, see you guys, you know, you like Kubernetes, what about this? And so we decided, okay, let's give it a shot. And it worked out very well for us so far.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your perspective on that, Mike, as well. Just sort of like, is that a common thing you see, you know, obviously beyond MLB and kind of what they've done as well?
It is, yeah, for sure. In fact, so cost drivers, reducing VM presence and sprawl and the VTax and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then there's, so there's a cost savings associated with that. And then, of course, there's just the simplicity involved in when you're working with bare metal and, you know, you reduce overhead and you're speaking more directly to the application. So you get better performance. And especially with the build out of edge and hybrid compute in general, you know, the whole term data center or whatever is kind of morphed into wherever the compute closet may be at this point. So those low latency applications and certainly, you know, just the desire to simplify infrastructure is spiking, I would say. You know, people kind of got, I was going to call it drunk on virtualization and cloud. And then you start realizing the bill is you know, it hurts the bottom line. There's simpler and more elegant ways to do things now. And because open standards have kind of caught up at a low level with this space, it makes enabling these bare metal clouds and managing your own infrastructure a hell of a lot easier if you have the right tools.
Gotcha. So yeah, exactly. Mike, like talking about the infrastructure stacks, right? What does the stack look like? Are they general purpose x86 servers? And then how does Metafy help MLB like bring everything up and like how does it actually work?
Yeah, so this is very much a DIY thing, right? So the infrastructure is theirs. We're a software publisher. We've got Mojo Platform is the name of our platform that makes running your bare metal really easy. And they've got a couple different. Since we work with any hardware manufacturer, right? This is all open standards based. The DMTF is the main open standards organization that created the Redfish specification, and that Redfish specification has become ubiquitous. So everyone, including the OCP, Open Compute Platform guys, OpenBMC projects, SNIA. Swordfish, all of the other open standards are you know, making sure and writing their components into the Redfish specification itself. So with that, we work across any hardware platform. And Kevin has had a really unique suite of hardware, essentially, that had to work together.
Okay, yeah.
That provided some cool challenges for us. It was a blast to work with Kevin. I'll hand it over to you for your hardware.
I was going to say, I heard a little bit of Kevin. That's a little bit your fault, but we were able to work on it.
Technology and ballparks is hard.
Of course.
So, you know, as Mike alluded to, we have, you know, a lot of, at least, you know, in terms of overall data centers, including minor league parks and all of that stuff that we support, we have a vast array of different hardware. You know, we have various Dells, Supermicros, all of that sort of stuff running. And, you know, it's tough trying to get something that can talk to all of them at the same time easily. And that's, you know, why we're leveraging something like Mojo, where, you know, because like what in our use case, what Mojo does is that it will, you know, bootstrap a OS onto the bare metal, and that OS image is a custom image we built that has all the required packages to install our Kubernetes of choice.
That's awesome.
And then all we do is, you know, we will drop either an Ansible or Terraform job, sure, and it will just roll out the cluster.
Now you say we, is that something you built or does Medify provide?
So it's a little column A, a little column B. Yeah, okay. So like Medify takes care of the bootstrapping, mm-hmm, and OS image. And then, okay, we have a bunch of automation tools we built around Ansible and Terraform that will then come in and take over and actually deploy the cluster itself.
Got it. So using those common tools, you know, makes it so you can do it the same or similar, I'm guessing, at every park then.
Yes. So that, you know, one of our primary designs was that each major league park is identical.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Hardware, cool, software, doesn't matter. They are all the exact same hardware. So if, you know, and this happens a lot, like you have an issue in one ballpark and then,
yeah,
you go to, you know, whoever support is and they're like, oh, well, you know, this is it, yep, happening everywhere. That's like, no, it's not us, it's you, because if it was us, it would be happening everywhere.
Yeah, that's another big aspect for as far as use cases go. I mean, so distributed workloads and keeping a chain of custody and source of record of what's, mm-hmm, in that box, right? What are the rev levels on the BIOS? What are the rev levels on the firmware? You can picture, you know, hundreds of servers, thousands of servers distributed around the country, around the world. And if you do a BIOS update and it, mm-hmm, you know, bricks a particular software application, you have to be able to do a rollback on that BIOS, yeah, rollback, yeah, on that firmware. It might only be to a few boxes specifically, a few servers specifically. So you have to be able to run a report against that. So, mm-hmm, all those things are enabled through through Mojo and all that low level, you know, chip level information of, you know, what are the BIOSes, what are the firmwares, what rev levels are they at, all of that.
Gotcha.
Dashboarded and,
yeah,
and makes life hopefully a bit easier for our customers.
Yeah, well, I mean, while people are scared of the cloud price tag sometimes, they still want the experience, right? So it sounds, yes, like that's kind of what you're delivering.
Man, that's a perfect marketing line for it. Not being afraid.
You're welcome. Yes, yes.
No more fear of on-prem hardware. Nice. I should say your hardware, because it's never on-prem. It's always, yeah, somewhere else. Well, it's on someone's prem, I guess.
Yeah.
I love that that saying about, you know, what is the cloud? It's just someone else's computer.
Just somebody else's. Yep.
What is the edge? It's just somebody else's computer, you know? It's, you know, all the talk about the edge. What's the edge? Well, somebody else's, yeah, computer, man. It's a little closer. Anyway,
no, I digress. Going back to the orchestration piece, right? Like, okay, you use Mojo to set up those infrastructure stacks, have the OS loaded, have all the packages. Then how do you take that next step and deploy Anthos? Do you deploy it across multiple stadiums at the same time? How does all of that work from OS to Kubernetes?
Oh, so, you know, yes, we can deploy multiple parks at a time, you know, mm-hmm, in parallel with Mojo and our Ansible and Terraform tools. It has simplified our lives immensely, because, you know, I've actually been with MLB now for 10 years.
Okay.
And when I first started, it was, you know, it would take you an engineer a good 6 hours to spin up a single park.
Oh, wow.
Now, okay, you've got 30 of those parks. Opening day is, you know, 2 months away, but technically a month away, because a month before opening day, we start going into code, you know, mm-hmm, freezes and heavy scrutiny. And so you have to work very hard in the off season to get everything done.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, now with the automation, we can get that done in a week.
Oh, wow.
For the, yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, like one engineer can do it, instead of having an entire team of engineers split the parks up.
Yeah, I guess that's another cool thing worth mentioning about Mojo. We have a service catalog inside of it where you can have, you know, any number of run stacks, right? Whatever you may need in terms of run times and particular stacks for different clusters and pooling of the resources and all of that cool stuff that from a low-level admin perspective, mm-hmm, your groups and developers require. So, yeah, that's all within the tool and sort of makes it a one-stop shop to be able to handle all those things from OS firmware all the way up to and through the, you know, cluster deployment and then the applications themselves.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, all of this seems too easy, guys. Like, I'm sure there might have been challenges, right? Like, we can't just
hand waving happening. Yeah.
So, Kevin, right? Like, as you were going through the process, I think I read the blog that you published on MLB's tech site. You maybe kicked off the project in 2019. The deployment was kind of in 2020. Like, what were some of the challenges apart from all the people challenges that we were going through during the first year of the pandemic?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so, you know, so like the pandemic was a huge issue because a lot of this required hands-on.
Yep.
Hands-on for our ballpark infrastructure teams that actually do the hardware installs. But, okay. You know, from our perspective, the biggest challenges is that, you know, like, we, at the time, Anthos was still fairly new. Like, we're rolling out this new technology. Yeah. We've never done this before. We have to build this tooling out to help us. Otherwise, you know, we're manually doing everything. I believe the term we commonly use around the office is hand jam. Like, you're hand jamming everything in there. And, you know, like, and it just, and we're doing this all remotely. Like, everyone is sitting on Zoom now, and, you know, we're still figuring out how to use, or was it even Zoom at the time? I can't even remember. It was Zoom. So, like, we're all sitting on Zoom calls trying to figure out how to work, you know, in a remote distributed way. So I think that was probably our biggest hurdle that we had to overcome.
Yeah, someone's still got to show up and hook up networking, right? That was the only thing. Yeah. Exactly. Once you move that on, then I guess then you can move on from that. Speaking of sort of remote work, you know, you chose Anthos, sound like you tried a few others. Is there sort of a management aspect that you take on for these ballparks, both from the aspect of Kubernetes itself? And I sort of get an idea of what it looks like with Medify, but maybe we can answer the Kubernetes part and then maybe the Medify part.
So the one really nice thing about Anthos is that it kind of gives us a single pane of glass. When managing Kubernetes, like, we manage our Anthos Kubernetes clusters much like we manage our GCP Kubernetes clusters. Like, we have, we have our OIC, you know, CI/CD pipelines just plugged right into Anthos, like it's just another GCP cluster. And, you know, we manage it like you would a DevOps would manage any other cluster. Like, and, you know, We use tools like Argo CD for application continuous application deployment. We enable the developer teams to actually manage their apps directly. Like, we give them the freedom and the tools, and with, you know, the guideline, like, little bumpers here and there to help them out. But, you know, for the most part, we just kind of let them do their jobs. And, like, that is our primary goal, is to let the devs do their jobs and not be a blocker to them.
Like, that almost sounds like why organizations like yours need platform engineering, right? Like, you want to make sure that developers are the most productive they can be, while at the same time providing those guardrails to make sure that they don't paint outside the lines, I guess, and get you in trouble.
And break down production.
That's never happened right now.
So talking about developers, right? So they, you said you use Argo CD, you have CI/CD pipelines in place. So I'm assuming the dev work happens in the GCP, like, cloud clusters. And then when it comes time to actually do the rollout or push applications, the production actually lives in these stadiums, right?
Yes, we have virtual ballparks which the devs will use to develop, you know, obviously test their apps and everything. And then once everything looks good, they will roll out to production in the ballparks. Now, you know, with Argo CD, everything is versioned. If something goes wrong, we can easily roll it back. We can, you know, with all the deployment. We have in the ballparks, we can do blue green deployments. So we, you know, if something goes wrong, the end user doesn't normally see it.
That makes sense. And I think, you know, one of the things I was wondering as we were going through this is, you know, I think you were there was a huge leg up here with things already being containerized. You could kind of plug in, I think I read somewhere, Argo CD to this deployment. Was it truly plug and play? Were there any lessons learned in this process, you know, of kind of getting the applications onto this new infrastructure?
The lessons learned were learned before we implemented Anthos, but, you know, okay. through our Rancher, playing around with Rancher, like we did, you know, the ballparks aren't 100% a GCP mm-hmm. environment. There is finite resources. You can't just auto scale.
Yep.
to meet, because if you auto scale, you suddenly start getting memory alerts and CPU alerts for machines, and you're going, oh, wait, what's going on here?
right.
You never know. Mike's team will be ready with another server. I know they don't manage hardware, but they might be ready to go with the Mojo platform.
Yeah.
Whenever needed. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that it does make it easier to just be able to, as long as the server has networking, we can just, you know,
yeah,
click a button and Mojo will kind of take care of the initial part, and then we can take care of the rest.
Gotcha. Now, so from the flip side, Mike, you know, is there, you know, something that was learned on sort of your side of things supporting this kind of use case?
Yeah, I mean, so they just had so many cool peripherals, and they had, you know, the apps themselves had demands that really provided all sorts of learnings for us. So on the storage side, they had some cool challenges that we wanted to integrate into Mojo. So we did that for their RAID controllers. So they can switch personalities of their storage devices within Mojo, check on the health of them, those types of things. And then there's, you know, hardware acceleration as well. They've got NVIDIA GPUs in there. So I think the 3080s, yeah?
They're not 3080s. I'd have to look, but yeah. They're a consumer version of like enterprise GPUs.
Yeah. So just all of the different elements that MLB brings to bear with these kind of rich stacks that have to handle these edge-based, low latency, unbelievably high performant workloads. And then they push up 7.2 terabytes of data each game for all of the ravenous fans who can't get enough of their stats in terms of, you know, every possible statistic you can imagine. What's the revolutions per minute on a, you know, baseball leaving Kyle Crick's hand at, 98 miles an hour?
It's a must have. I need to know this.
It's amazing. Well, I have to tell him, Kevin, after Aaron Judge hit his 60-second home run, we were on with Kevin. You know, we're on Slack all the time. And I can't even recall what we were doing, but he's just like, you know, hey, guys, you got to check this out. And he showed us Aaron Judge's home run in 3D as it was drawn by StatCast, as it was drawn by the lasers and high-speed cameras that track that. Unbelievable. Just the coolest thing to see, you know, the exact trajectory of the ball, the total distance flown, the speed of the ball coming off the bat. I mean, it's just beyond cool. The amount of tech that they have in there, it's just exhaustive and cool. So, all of the challenges associated with that gave us ample hardware to learn how to work with at a very low level. So it was just a lot of fun.
You mentioned, you know, the amount of data sort of after every game. And, you know, Bob and I both kind of have a background in sort of data storage and things like that. And we often talk about this concept. So since you brought it up, how are you using sort of the different resources in Kubernetes, Kevin, to provide storage? Or are you doing something completely different to provide storage to these applications and things like that?
So the applications on-prem are on the edge in our ballparks the design, they're very ephemeral. We don't if something goes wrong, you know, it's fine. It just, the pod gets redeployed and just keeps going. The storage all happens on the back end, MLB headquarters. We've been playing around with, you know, using Ceph or a similar shared storage solution for just our on-prem Kubernetes in case of, you know, just a blip in network or something like if a backhoe decides that it's gonna munch on a fiber cable.
Yeah,
you know, the great North American backhoe and its fiber munching. You know, like solutions like that, we're looking into we've played around with it and it's shown some promise, but I think like that is something we will be definitely moving forward with in the future.
Got it. So today, is it mostly streaming to object or like what, you know, what does that work
so
for?
The streaming, so, like the actual video feed comes straight from our video trucks in the ballpark. The statcast, all the data, all the player tracking, all of that goes through our Kubernetes stack into GCP. And that is everything. I mean, we've actually had to dial down the logging on the apps because our apps were making Stackdriver fall over.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, there's just a few things going through there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a single ballpark would be making Stackdriver fall over. So we've had to, you know, tweak our setup a little bit to help Stackdriver along. Because it is a fire hose of data. Like
I imagine.
You know,
that's the applications themselves communicating with sort of their parent application, say in GCP. Okay.
Yeah, like for example, we're using AMQ. You know, to push a lot of messages and stuff containing player tracking to our AMQ in GCP.
Got it.
Gotcha. Okay.
This, you know, all this talk about sort of everything that you're gathering and all the stats and making stack drivers fall over, things like that. You know, I'm curious sort of what's next, right? You've gotten to this point. Are there next stages for sort of your relationship with Medify, what you kind of have envisioned for this stack? You know, I my mind immediately goes to like watching a game in full VR or something like that. But, you know.
I like that.
I mean, not to let anything out, but like that is something we are seriously looking at.
I would totally do that.
MLB and VR would be a huge fan.
Good. I'll watch the space closely then, it sounds like.
You also need to do a tie-up with DoorDash or something like that to deliver those hot dogs as well. Like, you can't just
I need the full peanuts, hot dogs, everything.
That is awesome.
Like we have, you know, like there's a lot of fan interaction we want to leverage in the ballpark, and especially the way technology is going, it's going to allow us to, you know, make baseball way more interactive, way more fun for your casual fan. Like, you know, it's already fun for like hardcore fans, but so I think, you know, and in terms of Kubernetes, I think the future is we want to make it smaller.
Okay.
More nimble.
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe bring state on, like use that Ceph Rook combination that you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, have some state. Have some permanence, and you know, also like with all these special events we're doing, like you know the series in Mexico and the London series and all of that. So we want to be able to just ship our stack to these parks, set it down, turn it on, and away you go. You have the full you have the full suite of MLB tools.
Oh, that would be so cool. Like I remember when I went to Ignite in Microsoft Ignite, the conference in 2019, they had a Humvee that they were using with like the US Army to have these robust edge deployments of their hardware and running something on top, and then that automatically connects to Azure. I was like, wow, that would be so cool to have like in a new MLB stadium.
Yes. Like we right now we have it's sort of we like to call them fly packs that we're wanting to build.
Yeah.
And the fly pack is what it is. It's going to sit on a crate. It's going to get on a plane and it's going to go to London. It's going to go to Mexico or, you know, like wherever we want to and host events, like maybe even the World Baseball Classic.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah, it makes sense. And what about you, Mike, you know, in terms of sort of supporting bare metal Kubernetes deployments, since this is kind of the use case, what's next for you?
You know, so containerized applications, it's like over 50% of workloads now are on bare metal. So containers, it's the preferred application underlying architecture now for a number of reasons. And we see things continuing to trend in that direction, especially as Edge continues to grow. We've got, we do work with the military, and that Humvee reference was very interesting because we have some work exactly in that area with another partner of ours. It's based out of Virginia Beach, but and then with MLB, it's just a blast to work with them. And we're now the minor league ballparks are beginning to roll on, which is another interesting challenge because each minor league park is its own little creature, as well. I love baseball. So this is just it's been a ton of fun working with these guys. And as far as the future goes, all the industries and the growth of the edge and the growth of bare metal and people wanting to kind of take back and cloud this cloud repatriation movement that is is sort of happening in earnest now, all play into our solution and our value proposition really well. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know Bob and I have definitely spoken to a few guests on that topic specifically. It's definitely something that people are thinking about, especially in today's economic climate too, right? So, we're about a half an hour, so I want to get to our little ChatGPT question section. You don't have to answer, but if you sparks something in your mind, then just go for it. But so we asked ChatGPT to come up with a question about technology in baseball, and it came up with the increasing use of technology in Major League Baseball, do you think it's possible for a robot to become a professional baseball player and break all the records?
Oh, wow. Oh,
I kind of love this own answer, but I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that as well.
I don't think it will be possible for a robot to become a baseball player. I think it will be possible for a robot to become an umpire.
Hey, okay. Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that
I missed that.
becoming an umpire.
Umpire. Oh, yes, that's happening.
We have robot umpires in the minor leagues.
Yeah, so. That will save a lot of dirt being kicked on the field, a lot of infections,
all the hats being thrown,
hats, bats. Yeah, injuries. Oh. I mean, that's a big thing.
There's nostalgia there for me, though. It's like the umpire is part of it. It's a whole debate. That's a whole other podcast.
This is true. I think that a robot playing in Major League Baseball, well, I think as a demo project for Boston Dynamics, the guys.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm saying the same thing.
I mean, they would love this. I mean, I think we can put this challenge out to them to have a Major League pitcher go up against Atlas. Right. It's going to take a little time to teach Atlas to swing a bat. But we will absolutely deliver those bare metal servers for free for them. If they want to take on that AI challenge see if they can hit a ball coming from a Major League Baseball pitcher. That would be beyond cool.
Well, just no really, curveballs, probably.
I mean, that would be an insane
robot.
Maybe
that's the next step, yeah.
Yeah, especially with all the advances in AI and, robotics overall, right? I mean, this would be a really...
You never know. Well, ChatGPT itself thinks, basically, no way I could play baseballs was its answer. even though, they're very advanced, but the answer it gave was kind of interesting. It says that because of the emotional intelligence and strategic thinking and the ability to kind of adapt to the ever-changing game situation is sort of where it kind of went to. But then it also says, coming back to what Kevin says about fans, right, is baseball is a sport with a strong culture and historical significance. Fans would never let a robot play baseball.
Maybe they have their own league. Like, I don't know. I would watch that.
I don't know. That was its answer. So it doesn't have high hopes for itself, I guess.
That's good news for humanity, right? Like, if it believes that it can't go and replace humans...
Maybe that's the next evolution of Major League Baseball, Major League Robotic Baseball.
Its own league, yeah. Anyway, Kevin, Mike, it's been a pleasure having you here on Kubernetes Bytes. I think that was very insightful, and it was great to have such a close to home sort of topic and use case. So, yeah, it's our pleasure.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
It was fun, guys. Yeah. Have a good one.
Oh man, that was a lot of fun with Kevin and Mike there. I think my love for the game of baseball mixed with technology made this, I think, just super fun. But let's go into takeaways. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think my primary takeaway was we need to go and watch a game together this year in Boston. Like, I know Red Sox games have already started. We are in season. So let's do that. That's primary takeaway. Because although I do get like the basic references, like the first base, second base, the home runs and things like that, I was not aware of the intricacies of having an unhittable curveball and things like that. So I definitely need to learn.
Yeah. There's some kind of embedded tribal knowledge there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Overall, I think I love the fact that Kevin was able to share his transformation journey. Like, we have always seen customers aiming to do something like this, right? Move on from a traditional legacy, maybe virtualization-based infrastructure stacks over to Kubernetes. And one of the main reasons he listed as was cost, right? Having to run VMwares on a VMware vSphere on top of his bare metal nodes and then run his applications, which might have already been containerized, and still having to pay for those licenses and not getting all the features and the resource utilization that he needs. Yep. I think moving to containers, moving to something like Anthos that can still run on bare metals, provide that hybrid cloud solution for MLB, that was great. Like, I'm happy that this is like one of those public references, right, where people have successfully moved from VMware to Kubernetes, because believe me, right, like there are so many customers, so many enterprises that are still using VMware. So episodes like this or success stories like this definitely gives those users out there some confidence that, okay, it is possible and you can trust Kubernetes to be that infrastructure layer for your production environments, and it won't go down. It's not just another open source project that you can't trust. There are enterprises or organizations that are running it in production. That was my biggest takeaway.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, even at this last KubeCon, cost is still a huge theme. Even though Kevin started this in 2019, I think cost as a theme is definitely something people are thinking a lot about right now. So to hear this kind of thing, to go to bare metal and to be able to manage the complexity, right? I was thinking initially the term, well, isn't that more complex, where, you know, they kind of found something that worked really good for them and kind of talked about the simplicity of it, along with sort of the gains of performance and things like that, which leads me to sort of where I was kind of, you know, my takeaway was sort of the future proofing that Kevin and Mike talked about, which is more or less like building an infrastructure stack that could grow with MLB, right? Yep. It could really take on not only the 30 some odd parks in the US that they were aiming to and be able to deliver those quickly and roll out, you know, updates, but also take on things like, you know, the minor league stadiums, like to be able to kind of future-proof it in a way that they can go ahead and take that and ship it somewhere else, right? And run it the same way, whether that's minor leagues or in, you know, those special city games in London and things like that. So that's really cool to me. I think kind of building that stack in a way that can grow with you is one of the reasons I've always looked at Kubernetes as sort of a really interesting, you know, technology in general. So I think that's the takeaways from us. You know, hopefully you got as a listener some of that as well, as maybe you pick something else out of it, like, you know, can a robot actually hit a curveball or not? And we'll see. Wink, hint, hint, Boston Dynamics. So come talk to us about that, I guess.
We also need to remind our listeners, right? Like, thank you for supporting the podcast, but like, we still need to grow our audience. Like, it's already up there, but we need to take it even higher. So if you can just share, like, I know Memorial Day weekend is coming along, I don't know, before with your workmates or with somebody you know who's still interested in this Kubernetes technology, share this podcast, right? Like, just everybody, if they share it with one more people, that would really help us out. So I just wanted to do a shameless plug before we wrap up this MLB episode.
Yes, absolutely. If you share it with one other person, that goes a long way. It really does. So we appreciate that. And again, for your listenership, always means the most to us. And with that, that brings us to the end of today's episode. I'm Ryan.
I'm Bhavin.
And thanks for joining another episode of Kubernetes Bytes. Thank you for listening to the Kubernetes Bytes podcast.